Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.
Here we are on a Monday, 2 days after a 3-1 Flames win over the Ottawa Senators on Saturday night. The Flames have not practiced since that win. They'll hit the practice ice once again tomorrow ahead of Thursday's game against the Buffalo Sabres. Let's convene our Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, joins the program alongside Pinder and Steinberg in our Basement Systems downtown studio. Hi, Rye. So,
hi, Derek.
Derek, the Flames win on Saturday. Ryan. They get 2 days away from the rink. Knowing how the last week has gone, knowing how much turmoil the team has been embroiled in over the last week, how important were those 2 days off for the Flames?
Well, I think going into 2 days off with a win and a season-long four-game point streak was as important as anything else. I mean, this team has not had a lot to feel good about this season. I think you guys would both agree with that. I mean, it just really hasn't been their season in so many ways, between the Bill Peters situation and injuries, which they really didn't have many of last season. Obviously, the team has struggled on the ice, and it's just been kind of one thing after another. So, you know, having something to feel good about, I think, was really important. And getting a little bit of time away, coming off two straight wins and a four-game point streak to decompress, to kind of put what happened last week behind you, or at least try to as best you can. And they've got some momentum. They've got a bit of confidence going into this little break in the middle of the season. So I think it was really important to go into it the way they did. And then it's always good to get a break to recharge the batteries as well.
It's a good time for a pause, you could argue. You could also argue you want to keep going because things have gone well. But given the circumstance, I think a little mental rest be great. But please follow that up with more points collected, because this is not exactly the Washington Capitals and the Boston Bruins closing out the homestand here. It's a respectable but not great Buffalo team, and a Kings club that's beat them twice already but will likely finish at the bottom of the Pacific. So break, good, but make sure the break makes you better would be obvious caveat.
Yeah, the thing for me was just, it's not like over the last week it's been super pleasant going to the rink if you're the Flames, and I know that Jeff Ward has done a really good job of actively trying to make it more of a fun place to be and really tried to inject some of that into practice over the last number of days. But let's be honest, with all the turmoil and all of the controversy surrounding the team, it's hard to get away from that when you're at the rink. You win a game against the Senators, you're 3-0-1 over a four-game stretch, you've got the time off, you've got the window to dial it back. Just get away from everything. Go be with your family, go have some downtime, go hang with the boys, whatever the case may be, you've got that opportunity. I just thought it was more important than anything else to get away from it all and try and just disengage from all the crap that you had to subject yourself to, not because of your own doing, but they had a lot of crap they were subjected to over the last 7 days.
Oh, that's for sure. And you hope that it dies down a little bit over 2 or 3 days between games. I guess more than that between games, but you hope it dies down a little bit with a couple of days away from the rink. I don't think the story is going away anytime soon, but hopefully the Flames will have to answer fewer questions about it each and every day. I still think there's going to be questions, and I think there's more stories that are probably going to come out. And they're going to have to answer questions about those ones as well, even though it may or may not be directly or even indirectly related to them. But it's, I think, a good time for a break. But to Ryan's point, let's see how they come out of the break. Because remember, the last time they had a lengthy break between games was last season when they had a 9-day break, and they were never the same team afterwards.
Now, if they were to have a dramatic shift from one type of team to another type of team, and it was for the better this time,
that could be good. Yeah.
It was a dramatic shift from a really good team to a pretty mediocre team last time. So maybe a 5-day break will go the other way around. Flames back in action Thursday. So no games between Saturday and Thursday for the Flames. Guys, there's a really interesting situation that's starting to brew on the surface when it comes to Flames and some lineup decisions. By the way, it's our Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Ryan Pinder, and Pat Steinberg. Austin Zarnik very close to a return. Sam Bennett has started skating as well. Lo and behold, on his recall, Dylan Dubé has done nothing but prove that he belongs in the NHL. Now, I don't think it's all that difficult, but Derek, when both Zarnik and Bennett are ready to return, assuming everybody else is healthy, is Dylan Dubé staying on this roster for you?
It's a great question, and it's difficult to answer right now. I would say when both Sam Bennett and Austin Zarnik are back, assuming nobody gets hurt between now and then, and knock on wood, because the Flames have been bitten by the injury bug, it feels like more often this season than they were all of last season. But someone's going to have to go down, whether that's Dylan Dubé or somebody else. Somebody's going to have to go down, if for no other reason than cap space. The Flames don't have a lot of cap room to work with. And with Bennett and Zarnik off the books right now, it gives them a little bit of flexibility. But you're going to get Travis Hamonic back. When you get those two guys back, someone's going to have to go down to the Stockton Heat. Who that will be, I think, is to be determined. Dylan Dubé has to continue to play well because, let's face it, he's the easy guy to send down. You don't have to put him on waivers. If his play slips even a little bit, he's probably going back to the American Hockey League. But if that line continues to play at a high level with Derek Ryan and Milan Lucic, then I think he makes it way more difficult to send him down. Would you guys agree?
Obviously, yeah. If he's playing well, it's going to be way harder to send him down. I think that's something we... And the question when you frame it, we don't know who's going to be hurt when and when they're at full health, but the hypothetical, I'm not sending this guy down. Like, Tobias Reeder can play a fourth-line role, but I don't know that he can do much more than that. I think Dylan Dubé's shown that there's more that he can provide a hockey club than what Tobias Reeder can, and Zach Rinaldo's not going to be here when they add more bodies. I the only thing you would wonder is who's going to be your 13th forward and are you comfortable with that person not playing? So that would be really the only thing that I could see. But I think he adds more value and there's much more upside than a lot of the other options they've got around.
Yeah, it's interesting because, look, there's a very decent chance that somebody else will be injured once everybody else is healthy that we're talking about right now. That's just the odds of hockey. But If everybody's not healthy, or rather, if everybody is healthy and Bennett and Zarnik are back, I still think I'm trying to find a way to keep Dubé not only on the roster, but in my regular lineup. And so, maybe that means you have to scratch a Jankowski. Maybe that means you have to get a little bit more creative in your bottom six. But I definitely am looking into ways that I can keep an effective Dubé in there. Caveat being that he continues to be effective. But yeah, for the sake of this conversation, I'm assuming that's going to be the case.
Well, and the thing for me that I think is very valuable, there's pace that he plays with, and you found a line where Milan Lucic can contribute. And I'm not talking, he's scoring like crazy, but I think it would be safe to say that
he's played his best
17's
hockey.
Best hockey has been with Dubé and Ryan to his right. So I don't want to necessarily take that away right away just to slide someone with more experience or games played in the same spot. He's been very functional, and that line, you could argue, has been their most reliable and consistent line for the course of the four-game point streak. Maybe even prior. When were they assembled? That trip down to the desert that long ago, or was it after that? But it's a significant amount of work where he's a part of a line they can trust, and it's starting to resemble that fourth line last year, centered by Derek Ryan, where Hathaway was on one wing, and
Mangiapane.
And Mangiapane was in the other, and it was like, okay, you just know what you're going to get from these guys. I ain't breaking up a line that's doing that right now because there aren't too many lines they've had for any stretch this year where you just know exactly what you're going to get.
For me, the bigger question is what happened when Sam Bennett comes back, because he's not sitting out. Sam Bennett's not sitting out. When he's healthy and ready to play, he's going to be in the lineup. So where do you put him? I think the obvious place is on the line with Derek Ryan and Milan Lucic. And that's no disrespect to Dylan Dubé. And if that line keeps playing well, then maybe you have to find somewhere else to put Sam Bennett. I think it's easier to sit Austin Zarnik out. So if he comes back and Dylan Dubé is still playing at a high level, I don't think anything really changes. I think they'll leave Dubé in the lineup. But when Bennett comes back, that's a bigger question mark. Now, maybe they try Sam Bennett at center again. Mark Jankowski is still looking for his first point this season. If you feel like that line with Ryan Lucic and Dubé still going, and you want to try to get another line going, and keep in mind, new interim head coach here in Jeff Ward, so maybe he looks at things a little bit differently than Bill Peters did, but maybe you put a line together with Sam Bennett at center and then Tobias Reeder on one side, who knows what happens. But I just think that might be another option for the team as well.
Yeah.
They haven't been hesitant to scratch for a leak for small amounts. Zarnik spent a lot of time in his year plus with the Flames watching from above. And if you had to rotate some other guys to try to even that out, they could. But I'm not going to mess something that's working. And if this line stops working, the conversation changes. But it's been the one line you've been able to trust for the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's a very interesting. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Derek.
I would say, how about, you just mentioned the name I think would be a good fit there, Ryan. How about Bennett between Reeder and Frolik? Or you could go Bennett between Frolik on the left and Zarnik on the right.
Yeah, for me,
I think moving Bennett to center might be something they explore if Jankowski continues to struggle.
This is no knock on Reeder, but if everybody's healthy, he's behind, like he's 13 on the list for me, including Dubé in this conversation. So, but, and again, caveat being that Dubé continues to play the way he has. But Reeder would probably be the guy who is odd man out, and he probably wouldn't even, if everybody's healthy, he's almost definitely American League bound, at least for a little while, which would mean, Bennett between with Jankowski would be 13, and then Bennett between Frolik and Zarnik. Yeah, I'd be okay with that as kind of a 3A, 3B type line as it stands right now.
That'd be interesting.
We'll see. Now, these guys haven't returned. We don't know if Zarnik will be back. Is he back on Thursday? We'll find out. We'll get a little bit of a better idea. My sense is, personally, the sense is that Travis Hamonic is almost a guarantee on Thursday. I think Hamonic was good to go on Saturday, but I think that they were like, okay, let's give you the one extra day. Look at the way the schedule's going. Yeah. If we give you the extra day, there's an entire extra week that you get.
5 days is exactly what you get by not playing him.
And then you jump right back in. Zarnik, I don't have as good a feel on, but I don't think it would be a shocker at this point if he was back on Thursday night. So that's something to keep an eye on. Derek Wills, Ryan Pinder, Pat Steinberg, Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Final topic, David Rittich, the NHL's second star of the week. He went 941 and 2-0-1 this past week. We talked about this a little earlier, Derek. I want you to weigh in. When do the Flames start dialing back on this guy's workload? Because nobody has played more in the NHL this year than David Rittich.
Maybe when their schedule picks up again. I mean, this is a light week. I don't think there's any doubt that David Rittich's going to get the start on Thursday night when the Sabres come to town. I mean, why wouldn't you? Second star of the week coming off, I don't think his best performance, only because he didn't really have to be at his best in that game against the Senators on Saturday night, but a solid performance, and thought he was brilliant against the Sabres in the final game of that road trip. How he wasn't one of the three stars in that game, by the way, really left me shaking my head.
I think there have been three different occasions on that road trip where I was like, how is Rittich not a star in the building?
Just bizarre. But anyways, he was one of the stars of the week in the league, so I guess that's more important. But I think you play him for sure on Thursday and probably give him two of the three games remaining on this homestand, but you're going to have to get Cam Talbot some games sooner or later. I mean, David Rittich is on pace to play more games than any goaltender in the league, or certainly than most goaltenders in the league. I mean, he's right now in workhorse territory where he would be an elite number one as far as games played go. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, right now the Flames schedule is fairly light. Even go back to that road trip, and I know Cam Talbot was scheduled to get the start in Buffalo, but with all that was going on, they decided to go back to David Rittich for that game against the Sabres, and I can certainly understand why. But they played every second day on that road trip. Those are the schedules the teams absolutely love, because you get just enough time to get some rest and to get some practice in, but you get into the rhythm of playing every second day. So this break lets the Flames give a bunch of their players rest, all of their players rest for a couple of days, and certainly David Rittich could use that rest as much as anybody else right now. But at some point in time, I think you're going to have to start giving Cam Talbot one of every three or four games. I don't know if you guys see it differently, but expecting David Rittich to start between 60 and 70 games this season, when the most he's played in the season in the NHL is 45, I think that's a lot to ask. I get why he's played as much as he has, but at some point, I think you got to cut that back a little bit.
It's just so dependent on the environment they're in. Like, you're not telling me that if they're in March and they're 2 points out of the playoffs, they're going to squeeze an extra start in. I mean, the best case scenario is this club gets where I think many of us expected them to be in the division, which would be in one of those top three Pacific Division playoff spots, Pat. And then at that point, all the concerns about how to split the net, I think, are alleviated, and you've bought a little more flexibility and a bit of a cushion. They just, If the opposite's true, though, they might just have to do what they have to do, which is put the guy in that gets you the best chance of getting 2 points. You know, whatever late April or May looks like, be damned, because you just got to get in.
For me, right now, they're trying to strike an interesting balance, that balance of winning enough games to get into the playoffs. And to do that right now, I think that they feel that they need David Rittich in net, but also you're trying to strike that balance of, okay, if we get there, we want our guy fresh. Right now, I think December gives you an interesting opportunity to get a few more Talbot starts in there. And I think when you have a schedule like December as it presents itself, not all of their opposition this month would be high-end caliber. I believe that's a time when you have to take advantage of and try to get Talbot some starts for precisely what you're talking about. If they run into a scenario post-trade deadline or into February when they're like, geez, we're not in, we need to get as many number one starts in as we can. That's why I think when you have the opportunity now to get some Talbot starts in, you have to take them. So whether it's Buffalo or whether it's Los Angeles, I think he's got to start one of the next two games here.
And I think you're looking at a 10-day window where they play six times. There's got to be two starts in there. You got a back-to-back with travel. That screams backup start. Yep. And you talked about one of the two on the homestand, which I think everyone's on the same page of. And that's only two of six games, so only a third. But that's more than he's been playing crazily.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Cam Talbot has played poorly. Do they have as much confidence in him as they do in David Rittich? Obviously not. But the Flames aren't in the type of situation that some teams are. And I think the Maple Leafs is the first team that comes to mind for me. They can barely get a save, let alone a win from their backup goaltender. I mean, isn't Hutchinson giving up 4 or 5 goals a game? I think he's given up 4 or 5 in every single start that he's had this season. So they just can't trust their backup. And there are other teams that are in that boat. I don't think the Flames are in that boat. And I think what would make it way easier for Jeff Ward to give Cam Talbot more work is if the forwards and the defensemen in front of the two goaltenders started playing a little bit better and a little bit more consistently. And then I don't think you have to worry as much about who you're starting, because I think they've got two good guys.
Michael Hutchinson's last 6 NHL starts, 5 goals against, 4 goals against, 4 goals against, 5 goals against, 5 goals against, 5 goals against.
Just give me 5, boys. Just need 5.
You
guys can give me 6.
We can get a point for overtime.
Gotcha. Good stuff, gents. Mr. Wills, enjoy the rest of your Monday evening. We will see you back at practice tomorrow.
Okay, boys. See you at the rink tomorrow.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.